Well, hello there, ladies and gents. Good to see you again, and welcome back to Your Money and a Cup of Joe. I'm Ryan Ruff, your moderator. But as always, I'm joined by Joe Kaleo of the Kaleo Wealth Management Group. And we're going to be getting into a really good wealth management topic today, specifically for those entrepreneurs, those business owners out there, as many of our conversations do. But today, we got a really good one for you. If you are out there as an entrepreneur or a business owner, odds are you've probably thought about that day that might come of selling your business. And when that ultimately does come, you're going to have to make a decision on who you're going to be selling your business to. And usually you're going to encounter one of two types of buyers in these moments, a financial buyer or a strategic buyer. So in today's episode, Joe and I are going to be breaking down kind of the key characteristics of who makes up these two different buyer types and why one might make more sense than the other for you and your business. So really good conversation today. This is one that Joe has routinely and regularly with his clients that are business owners at the Kaleo Wealth Management Group, and excited to get into this one. Joe, good to see you today. How you doing?
Ryan, doing great. Good to see you. And I am excited because we have dealt with this quite a bit, and it's one in which we sort through with our clients and happy to sort through with all of our listeners today.
Yeah, it's great. And let's face it, this is one of the biggest moments, biggest challenges of a business owner's time owning that business is selling it, making sure they're able to maximize the value of their life's work, if you will. So, Joe, let's jump in head first here. The first type of the two buyers that I just mentioned a moment ago is that financial buyer. Why don't you walk us through what entrepreneurs can expect with regard to a financial buyer?
Financial buyers, Ryan, are generally professional investors, if you will, and they're in the business to buy and sell companies. They're generally solely interested in getting a financial return by purchasing that company. And it usually comes in one of two ways: funds taken out of cash flow or the future sale of the company, and possibly both, right? So in short, it's all about the return on the investment. So that means you probably find a financial buyer willing to pay more if you can make a compelling case that your company will generate strong and reliable profits for years to come. Buying and selling a company is the most common way for financial buyers to profit. So financial buyers tend to be opportunistic. They generally search for undervalued companies like most investors, and they seek to buy low and sell high down the road. They also see companies with significant growth potential based upon the industry they're in, their location, or potentially some other growth driver.
Joe, you know, we're talking about this whole conversation today from the perspective of the, you know, the seller, the business owner themselves, but let's flip the script for just a moment. Where does the seller fit into the buyer's vision of, you know, this purchase of a company, specifically sticking with the financial buyer, that is?
Yeah, usually, but not always, financial buyers have a deep knowledge of, say, a particular industry or type of business and concentrate their activity in a single area. So, for example, a financial buyer might focus exclusively on acquiring retail-oriented companies or even go deeper in finding apparel retailers. So financial buyers see your business as an investment, not as a hands-on enterprise or entrepreneurial effort to run themselves. So therefore, they're likely to expect you and some of your team to remain active in the business after the sale so you can keep generating those expected big profits. Financial buyers commonly inject capital into the business they buy and potentially giving you, assuming you remain at the helm, greater opportunities to pursue initiatives aimed at driving stronger growth. They're usually regularly engaged in financial restructuring in order to boost the value of the companies that they're buying. They're taking actions such as reducing expenses, streamlining management, all designed to reduce or potentially even have debt to expand the business, but to make it grow its multiple.
No, this is good stuff, Joe. Sticking with financial buyers again for a moment, where do they come from? You know, how is an entrepreneur likely to encounter one of these financial buyers in the first place?
There's generally two distinct types of financial buyers, Ryan: private equity firms and family offices, right? The vast majority are private equity firms that tend to be quite knowledgeable and sophisticated when it comes to the many aspects of deal making, including, say, due diligence, valuations, legal expertise about acquisitions and deal structuring. That said, Family offices are increasingly purchasing or investing in privately held companies. Entrepreneurship is how many families with family offices became wealthy in the first place. So buying existing businesses is often seen as a natural way to generate additional wealth. As with private equity firms, most family offices have extensive experience and expertise in doing deals.
This is great stuff, Joe. Let's shift now over to that second type of buyer that I mentioned a moment ago, and that's the strategic buyer. To kind of kickstart this conversation on the strategic buyer, Joe, where do you see a strategic buyer differing from the financial one that we just dove into?
Yeah, in contrast to financial buyers, strategic buyers are typically focused on how acquisitions can complement and enhance their existing business or businesses. So for strategic buyers, the logic behind the purchase is, say a business is already owned and operated, they acquire the new business, and that's the power of, say, almost three businesses. So in other words, the value of the combined company is greater than the values of the individual companies operating on their own. And it's called synergy. And there are two main types of synergies, reliable and potential. Reliable synergies that have a high likelihood of increased company efficiencies and profitability. These type of synergies are often easier to quantify and thus more likely to contribute to a higher price. And then potential synergies, they may lead to general and greater corporate capabilities and growth. These synergies, though, can be more nebulous, and they may or may not be a major factor in the price of the company. So the more likely the synergies, the more valuable your company will be to a strategic buyer, the better your ability to identify and make the case for a broad range of synergies, the higher the sale price you're likely to get.
All right. Well, Joe, how does a strategic buyer then see kind of the greater value being created for themselves, maybe that existing company or companies they have, beyond the sale of maybe, let's say, that second, third, fourth, fifth company that's involved in the transaction?
Yeah, let's go down that list, Ryan, because they may think, well, I think I have something of value. How do I know, right? So there are several ways commonly available. How about one, access to new markets? Or two, expanding product lines? Three, increased talent? Four, and this is often common, greater cost efficiencies due to the elimination of redundancies. Five, new capabilities, such as an enhanced distribution or intellectual property. And then finally, a more powerful brand and/or reputation, right? Strategic buyers, Ryan, are often larger firms that can evaluate a business based on what it could be worth if they were at the wheel of making the decision. So as such, strategic buyers will often pay more for a company than will financial buyers, because that enhanced value they expect to derive from the synergies fueled by the acquisition. For strategic buyers, it's less expensive and faster to acquire an existing company and benefit from the synergies than to build the company and the capabilities from scratch.
Mm-hmm. No, this is great stuff. Joe, when we were talking about financial buyers a moment ago, there were different types of them. They came from different places. Is the same true for strategic buyers? Are there different types of strategic buyers?
There are, Ryan, and let's go through that, right? Often they include, say, suppliers possibly looking for a vertical integration, customers looking for vertical integration, competitors seeking to benefit from industry consolidation, companies in related industries looking to diversify. And finally, there could also be businesses in an adjacent industry selling similar products and seeking just to expand. So both up and down for vertical, side to side for horizontal, it can go many different ways for strategic buyers.
Roger that, Joe. And I chuckle because I was about to say it might be the $1 million question or the multi-million dollar question. And that is, how does a business owner know whether a financial buyer or a strategic buyer is the right one for them? I know that's a loaded question, but what's the thought process that you go through at this moment?
Yeah, I think, Ryan, the first thing the business owner has to do, and we've talked about this before, but it's worth revisiting, they have to know what they want in the end. They have to know what they need or want financially and what they need or want for the business going forward. That's primary, right? But it does depend on your goals and your objectives. And let's go through some of that. So if you consider a financial buyer, it's if you seek access to capital for growth and acquisitions. or if you valuable flexible deal terms and transaction structures. And finally, if you want to continue to be actively involved in the company after the deal. Think twice about a financial buyer, though, if you don't want to take on additional debt payments, which can be considerable, if you want to exit the business entirely, and if you dislike the idea of the financial buyer exerting extensive financial influence on the business.
All right, those are some key considerations there, Joe. Let's talk about the guidelines then on the flip side when dealing with a strategic buyer. What should that entrepreneur be considering here?
Yeah, if you seek the highest valuation for your company, a strategic buyer could be right for you, right? That's one. Two, you no longer want to be involved in the company's management after the sale. That could be an option. But if you want synergies between the two companies in order to increase the overall success of the combined business, strategic buyer could be right. Now, you may want to think twice if you feel the potential synergies will not be realized and the company could suffer. Two, you worry about that the sale would hurt morale amongst your employees. And then finally, if you think your customers or clients may have negative reactions to the sale, the strategic buyer may not be right for you.
This is great stuff, Joe. And look, we've might sound like a broken record here, but on this show, we talk a lot about this idea of consulting with your trusted professionals when it comes to moments like these heavy, lot of variables involved, any type of wealth management decision that exists in your life. So Joe, for anybody out there that might find themselves or in this position, maybe they know they're going to approach this situation later in life with their business, and they could benefit from having these conversations early and often with that team of trusted professionals. What would be the best way somebody could reach out to you and your team to talk through which type of buyer would make the most sense for them given their situation?
Ryan, I think so many times business owners think they have to have it all together. They often sell their business once. Rarely do they get the opportunity to sell a business twice. And so having the mindset that I'd like to have a conversation and explore what I'm thinking, it's so important to just take a step back and be willing to reveal some inner thoughts, feelings, and experiences, because they get to do it one time. And I know business owners think, what can someone do for me when this is my business, because they've never sold a business before? And yet the trusted professional has often done it numerous times before. And like we talked about, the potential items that a buyer may try to whittle them down after a sale price has already been negotiated. So having a conversation, having a second opinion, having some thoughtful discussion around what they need to work through, think about, and structure in a sale becomes tremendously important. So we welcome that conversation. There's no cost. Send us an email, give us a phone call, but we're happy to have that discussion before somebody were to take the steps. And because remember, as we've also talked about, 80% of business owners regret some aspect of their sale 1 year after it closed. And we want them to have a regretless decision and transaction. We do.
Of course, that 20% is where you want to be. Well, definitely. Joe, appreciate you, you know, diving into a really heavy topic when regard, you know, somebody opens up this moment of their life to sell their business. It's packed with a lot of emotions, a lot of thoughts, and ultimately you want to maximize that value. So deciding which buyer makes the most sense for you is a very important step in that process. Appreciate you and your time diving into it today, and looking forward to being back on the next one with you.
Thanks, Ryan. Have a great day, man.
You too. And look, folks, we want to take a final beat here and thank you all for stopping by and spending time with us on the show today. If you learned something, you know, we made you consider you and your own business and the buyer that you might want to, you know, consider down the road, or you learned something, of course, make sure you subscribe to the show on whichever platform you checked us out on today so that you don't miss out on any conversations like this, where Joe and I sit down and dive into different aspects and avenues of wealth management, where, and ultimately we want to have conversations so that you and yours can come out better for it on the other side. Before Joe, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long today. But once again, we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Your Money and a Cup of Joe. The This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated. UBS Financial Services Incorporated does not verify and does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. This material is made available for use by CEG. Neither UBS Financial Services Incorporated nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, member SIPC. Joe Kaleo at Kaleo Wealth Management Group, UBS Financial Services Incorporated. Office address 200 West Highway 6, Suite 400 in Waco, Texas, 76712.